You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's another great day right here on Inspired News Radio. Hi, this is Scott Sullivan, and I am your host of Mind Your Own Business. Every single week, we get together and we talk to some of the greatest entrepreneurs, business people, people that are out changing the world. Because you know, here at Inspired News Radio, we try to put everything through a lens of positivity, and we bring you programs that are designed at purposely to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. And I am excited to have Ken Blackman, the CEO and owner of Ken Blackman Coaching. You guys are going to love this story. So stay tuned right here on Mind Your Own Business, because we are going to have the origin story of Ken Blackman. Welcome to the show, Ken. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much. When I was reading through your profile, and as we were getting to know each other a little bit before this broadcast, I'm completely blown away. You know, I am anxious to dive in and dig into the origin story, as all of my fans are. They're all sitting on the edge of their seat going, okay, who's Ken Blackman and why is he on this week? But before we get there, give us that 30-second snippet about Ken Blackman Coaching. What is the overall arching service that you provide now that you are where you are today? And then we're going to dig into your past just a little bit.
Yeah, I work with couples. I'm a sex and relationship coach. And a lot of times I'm working with powerful women and the men who love them. And they know that they don't quite fit the old traditional model of, you know, him being the provider and the protector. Maybe his, but it's not the definition of what his role is. You know, she's not necessarily going to be the nurturing homemaker. They have a different way of having a dynamic, and they're trying to figure it out. And I help them co-create their unique relationship that works for them so that they can have a thriving, just gloriously happy life partnership.
I am so excited to get into that. I love the fact, so you are actually now officially the first person after all of these years that I have been doing Mind Your Own Business, and I have gotten worldwide attention from all over. We've been broadcasting globally for the last few years, and you are officially the first sex therapist or sex relationship therapist that I have ever had on. And I am so excited because I have so many questions. I hope this turns into a 3-part series.
Great. I'm ready.
Well, anyway, let's talk a little bit about Ken Blackman and how this all came about, because as you know, my listeners love to hear the origin story. They love to know kind of, you know, where did Ken Blackman grow up and kind of how you got your feet on this path. So just pick some random point in your background and just say, okay, from here on, and then tell us a little bit about you, you know, the story of the man and what brought you to where you are today.
Great. So I'll start 22 years ago. I'm in Silicon Valley. I'm a software engineer at Apple. It's right during the first tech bubble. So I'm riding high. It's fantastic. I'm successful by most measures, except not in my personal life, not in my intimate relationships. I'm terrible with women. I'm every way that you can be unskilled with women. And that's not unusual. I mean, we're a bunch of geeky, nerdy software engineers. So that's not unheard of. But at some point in my life, I just thought, this is a glaring hole in my life. This is like one area that isn't working in my life. And I started looking around to see, well, what am I going to do about this? Am I going to learn to dance? Am I going to learn, you know, basket weaving? What am I going to do, you know, to figure this out? And I happened upon, I was introduced to a group that focused on what happens between men and women in the bedroom. And as a way of understanding man-woman dynamics as a whole. So I was like, great, I'm ready to be great in bed. Where do I sign up, right? So that was a turning point for me. And through that lens of what happens between men and women in the bedroom, I started to really understand, because I thought, if I can be great in bed and I can like solve my sex life, then everything will be happy. Well, what happened was I was able to do that and I then had a great sex life, but I realized that's actually not what drives me. That's not actually the thing I'm hungry for. And that blew my mind when I realized actually it's the connection that I have with this woman. It's the intimacy that we share. It's the connection. And there was this missing nutrient of human connection that was the real thing that I had been hungering for the whole time. And as I delved more into this, I realized that's actually this unmet hunger for a lot of men in general. And then we're culturally trained to think, we'll get that met in the bedroom. And so that was a turning point, and that changed everything for me. And it was about a year in that I just thought, I'm just going to leave my career because I want to do this full time and help other people have like the relationship that they actually are hungry for, what it is that they really want from each other. And so I dove in, I quit my job, I dove in full time as a student and eventually as a co-teacher with my mentors, my teachers, and just went from there.
That's incredible. So you have just unpacked so much. I got a thousand questions. Okay, so first of all, this is just weird that I'm going to bring up my father. My father's passed years ago, but my father used to tell me as a very young man that men trade affection for sex and women trade sex for affection. But now what I'm hearing you say is, that's not exactly what you're finding out. So I'm asking the expert today. Yeah. So that is so strange. And then the other thing that I unpack from what you just said is it seems a little backwards, because if you can't have the relationship prior to, how do you ever get the opportunity, you know, to show off your sexual prowessness if you're, you know, first you got to get through the first date. I mean, I was this awkward, you know, teenage kid like everybody else, and then college and didn't know anything. And I'd love to have had a class to teach me how to be, you know, this fantastic lover. But the problem is I didn't have enough at bats. So my stats were really, really, really bad. So tell me, let's unpack that a little bit. How does one help the other?
Okay, so there's a few different questions in there. So I'm going to take those questions kind of piece by piece. Yeah. So first I want to talk about this strange idea that I'm putting out here that, you know, we have this, like common knowledge. Men want sex and women want love, or men barter love to get sex and women barter sex to get love, right? So as a sex instructor, first as just a person who was changing, but then as an instructor, I noticed how often men genuinely wanted to please their partner. And we always kind of scratched our head about that. Like, is like the guy's like, oh no, I'm so generous. I just want to please my partner. You know, I want to please her in bed. Well, there's this missing thing that I started to realize, which is this. Think about this. When people turn to technology as kind of a substitute for their partner, when they turn to technology, what technology do they turn for, like to substitute for a partner in bed? Well, women, the number one technology is a vibrator. And for men, the number one technology is porn. So what that means is that for women, there's a very important physical you know, a physical component that's super important to them, because the vibrator industry is gigantic. It's a multi-billion dollar business. And for men, it's porn. And then recently there's talk about dolls, or they hire a sex worker as a substitute. So what's happening there? Well, what's happening is all of those things are another human being whose arousal they can share with. Porn, other human beings who are in this state of arousal. A doll, a substitute partner, or, you know, so there's the primary thing that men are hungry for is to share this experience with another human being, either to share in their experience or to have a shared experience. It's not so much the physicality of men. Men's machinery isn't that hard to operate. Like, that's not the hard part.
Well, I've never heard it put that way, but okay, I'm going to agree with you.
Okay, so what makes that a complete experience is sharing it with another human being. And women are the opposite. Women, you know, their machinery isn't. We used to think it was complicated. It's actually not, but it's certainly different from men's. But what women have easy access to partners. If a partner was the only thing they were, you know, if that was the only thing they needed, they would have no problem. But often they have an experience where they're producing more sensation in their partner's body than what they're experiencing in their own. So they have a the shared experience comes easy to them. It's not that they don't want it. Of course they want that shared intimacy, but it comes easy to them. The missing ingredient for them is that their bodies are well taken care of. And so when I work with couples, if he gets an enjoyable shared experience and she gets her body well taken care of, well handled, they're both going to be happy. And so it's this complete reversal, like what he's actually there for. That's why I started saying what we're actually there for is actually the connection. It's the thing that actually makes it enjoyable.
That is amazingly intuitive. Now, I mean, once you start explaining it in those terms and laying it out there in this open book, you're kind of going, okay, you know, I can delve into my own past. Then how does that translate? You know, let's say I learned that. Okay, so I've learned that connection and I understand it. How does that then move forward into the relationship, so that earlier on, you know, let's even use the example of, you know, you're at the high school dance or the college dance or whatever. It's not the, you know, I'm scared of the situation of getting into intimacy and if I'm going to be able to perform. The fear comes is, how do I walk across that gym floor and actually speak to, you know, Sally, who I've had a crush on for all of, you know, senior year?
Okay, great question. So, and you know what's funny about this? I was just on a podcast where I was the focus of the podcast was mastering midlife. So I got asked the same question about what happens on a first date or in a first time situation when you're older. And so here's what's interesting. Whether you're 30, 40, 50, or whether you're 16, this is the hardest truth, or it's kind of like the best kept secret, which is that, you know, you're going to the dance, you're going to the prom, so much of your attention is on, you know, am I dressed well? Am I going to show up in a nice looking car? Have I practiced my opening lines? All these pieces, you know, like all the kind of surface things that you can think of. But those are just the setting. Really what happens, what both of you will remember is whether you're 50 or 15, what you'll remember is there might be a moment where the facade falls down and you're just two human beings who see each other and have a moment of connection. And if you have that moment of connection, that's what's going to have it be that at the end of the night, you're like, you know, I really enjoyed my time with you. I'd love to do it again. So you know, to the degree that we can remember that, whether you're in a coffee shop, you know, trying to look your best, you know, struggling with what you're going to talk about, and those awkward silences or whatever, if you can just lower your facade for a minute and just be one human being connecting with another human being, that is so penetrative of an experience, so intimate of an experience, that it is it's at that moment that you realize, oh, that's the thing that we're all hungry for. You know, that's the thing that we're all here. That's why we come, what we come to relationship for in the first place. I mean, you know, in life, there's so many experiences that we get to have that are available to us, like the best downhill ski slope and the best like gourmet, like Michelin starred meal and all these experiences. And you know what? You can have those experiences alone and they'll be amazing, amazing, amazing experiences. You can go most of your life and have a very rich, fulfilling life just with those kinds of experiences. But aside from that, there's this thing that is irreducible of connection with another human being that we all hunger for that you won't find in any of those other places. And if you can have 5 seconds of that while you're slow dancing on the floor or while you're looking in someone's eyes, then you've had the thing that is the reason why we get into the relationship, the reason why we get into, why we, you know, want to get married, to have that human connection.
Okay, so I'm loving everything that you're saying here. I get the intimacy, I get the connection, the facade dropping. So are you going to be able to coach us or teach us? I mean, obviously, you know, we don't want to take a sledgehammer to the facade. What I want to do is I want to say, are there things that we can learn as human beings that further the opportunity, right? So if I have that opportunity for that to happen, and I know that there are, you know, these three easy things that I can do to help facilitate that, to make it, you know, and I'm not saying it's 100%. I'm saying is if I can go from 0 to 10%, I've made a world of difference in my life. Can you teach us things or help us with, you know, setting the tone, the right tone, and then things that I can do to project to my partner or project to the person that I am with that I'm lowering that, you know, facade, or that it's, you know, like this crescendo of music and the facade is coming down or something. You know, I'm trying to, you know, verbally put it into words what I'm seeing in my mind.
Yeah. So I'll give you one. It's simple. It's not easy. It's very, very simple, but in practice, it takes a lot of courage to do, which is whatever is going on in the moment, like the thing that you want the least attention drawn to, or the thing that's the most uncomfortable that you're trying to avoid. If you can make a mental switch and actually say that thing, name that thing, like, wow, wasn't that an awkward silence? Or I'm kind of nervous right now, or like whatever the thing is that is the true, you know, that moment where that moment of truth and that moment of vulnerable humanity. And it doesn't, there isn't anything that could be going on between two people that can't be named, you know, whatever that uncomfortable thing is. If you just say it, a couple of things happen. First of all, you've exposed that there's a real human back there, number one. Number two, you've given the person you're with permission to be a little bit more human too. So if you can just pick one thing that is kind of awkward or uncomfortable and just name it, say it out loud, like let it be spoken, so that you can step out of it for a minute and kind of point to it for a second and just chuckle about it. That's one simple thing you can do.
That's cool. That's a very cool idea. I can see where you're saying is it's simple, but it's not easy, because it's simple to say it, but you also have to, you know, now I want to go back to the nature versus nurture, because our society has just pounded on us as men and women, both gender roles. I love what you said when you first started. When we first started this conversation, you mentioned that you have this, you know, overachieving driver, you know, woman that is, you know, uber successful or whatever. And she's in a relationship with a, you know, maybe it's not the traditional. I love what you put in your profile, the Ward and June Cleaver. You know, we're way going way back into our childhood where, you know, where everybody yeah. slept in twin beds and kept one foot on the ground. But you know, you talk about the dynamic of the relationship and how, you know, we don't know what goes on behind that closed door. And we don't know that the, you know, that powerful CEO, female CEO that, you know, walks in from, you know, the end of the day out of the boardroom, she doesn't like, you know, step down out of her heels and then goes, oh, let me get you a beer, honey. Right. I mean, that just, you know, that's, she probably doesn't become subservient as soon as she walks through the door, right? And then she has to struggle with the guilt of kids and raising children and time off. And our society is just crushing down upon us men, you know, and then we have this unrealistic expectation of what a relationship is, because you mentioned it before. If you've got a man watching pornography and thinks that's the way men and women interact through his whole life, that's what he's been taught. I mean, now you've got a whole nother dynamic that is completely askew. So are these things that you address during your coaching sessions?
Yeah, totally. I'm so glad you brought this stuff up. You're right on the money with these topics. So here's what I see often. So, you know, the common denominator in a lot of my couples is that this woman has kind of stepped out of what is her conventional role of the, you know, the nurturing, you know, homemaker, right? And so they might not fit that dynamic. There might be a variety of ways in which they don't fit that dynamic. But what happens is, so she will end up with one of several guys. One possibility is that she got a fellow, you know, alpha male, you know, take charge kind of guy, someone who can meet her energetically at the same level, so that what she loves about that is it's, you know, she has to be the strength out in the world, so she gets to come home and have someone else hold the strong pole so that she can, you know, relax and surrender and step into her soft womanly side. The problem often that she runs into is with that kind of guy is that, you know, he might actually at times be threatened by her when she is, you know, strong. He might be threatened if she makes more money than he does. He might be threatened if, you know, if she steps up and wants to be the decision maker or she wants to initiate things in the bedroom. So his greatest value to her is also, you know, something that is a problem for her. The second possibility is that she gets a very supportive guy, right? He's not threatened by her at all. He's super supportive. He thinks her all of her success is great and all that stuff. But he's so agreeable often that she wishes he had a little bit more of what the first guy had was, you know, like he's so agreeable. He doesn't know how to take the initiative. He doesn't know how to take charge. And she wants those things. Or maybe, you know, like there often I've had women say, I just wish that he would, I wish we would argue about something just so I could experience him taking a stand about something. Right. So he's at the other end of the spectrum. And so then there's a third type of guy, which is he's an all around good guy. He's never dated a woman like this. He's never been with a woman like this. And all of his training just doesn't fit. He recognizes that he needs to learn some new skills. So what are the new skills that these people need to learn, right? That's the question. And so the new model, each couple is unique. And when I working with couples, it's unique. So it's been difficult for me to narrow it down to a few basic things, but I'm going to give it a shot. Here's the new skill set for him. Because How does he know when to take the lead? How does he know when to follow her lead? How does he know, you know? So the new skills, instead of being her protector and her provider, the new skills are he's confident. And confidence is great because it not only gives him the ability to take the lead, but I'm also talking about the confidence that's required to genuinely apologize to someone. Like, it takes confidence to be able to look someone in the face and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Like, that takes confidence. So first of all, confidence, like his self-esteem, his inner core of confidence and self-esteem. That's the first one. And the second one is intuition, meaning as men so often we're asked, we ask, can you just give me the instruction manual? Can you please just tell me what to do? Like, I'll do it. I'm happy to do what you want. Just give me please just give me the instruction manual. Well, I'm sorry, there is no instruction manual. It is intrinsically impossible for her for him to have a playbook that's going to get him in this relationship. Meanwhile, while he's trying to figure out those heuristics and that algorithm that's going to work every time, that he's ignoring a part of his brain that's giving him the information the accurate information at any given moment, that if I can get him to cultivate his intuitive sense, all of a sudden, like he starts to realize that he does have answers to the questions. He does know. And all of a sudden he has a spidey sense that feels to her like all of a sudden he sprouted some kind of ESP, like he knows her better than she knows herself. He anticipates things. He becomes a lot more skillful in the bedroom when he has this kind of intuition. And when I talk to guys about this, often they'll say, I'm a reasonable, rational human being, and this intuition thing you're talking about, I just don't have it. And I'll say, okay, so I'll give him this example to show him that he can do this. And I'll say, okay, you know those times when you're watching TV, you kind of know she wants you to do the dishes, but you know, you just wish that she would just come out and tell you. Like, you've talked about this before, how she has these unreasonable expectations. Like, you know, she wants you to do the dishes and you just wish she would be upfront and say, hey, would you please do the dishes? So, and the guy says, yeah. And I say, well, brother, if you know she wants you to do the dishes, she communicated like that. She's broadcasting all the time what it is that she wants. And if you listen to the quiet whisper of what you already know, you will start to realize that you have this skill.
Wow, that is so what you have just you just pegged it. I mean, that's exactly right. So, or the other unreasonable expectation that we've all experienced is we want her to say, would you do the dishes? And we're going to say, sure, as soon as the show's over or as soon as the game's over or whatever. And then it proceeds immediately into a fight.
Right, exactly. So it's so interesting because I tell guys, you want that spidey sense. You want that ability to anticipate, because it's the same skill. Like, we've seen this in the movies, like, you know, time after time, where they're arguing, and then he grabs her and kisses her and throws her on the bed, and you know, they have this, you know, the camera pans to the you know, the horizon, right? And we know what's going on. It's great. So how the heck do you know when it's the right time to do that? And I say, if you want to get good at that, when you know she wants you to do the dishes without her telling you, get up and do the dishes. It's the same skill, and you need to cultivate it. The way we learn how to do that is we practice what we think we know, what we believe to be, you know, we listen to our intuition and we act on it. Then we get feedback. There's this story from the poultry industry, like the poultry industry, where in the 1930s, they had this problem of identifying like male and female chicks, and they needed to be processed very differently. So it was a problem, and you can't look and tell. So there was this school in Japan that taught people. It took 6 weeks to teach them how to be able to tell male chicks from female chicks. And what they would do is the student would sit down with a box of chicks and the teacher would stand behind them. And the student would pick up a chick, look at its butt, and make a random guess, male or female. And the instructor would say, you're correct or you're not correct. And then the student would pick up the next one and make a random guess, male. And the teacher would give him feedback. They would do that 8 hours a day for 6 weeks. And by the end, the student had like an 80, 90, 95%, 98% success rate. But he still couldn't tell you how he knew. He just had done the work to cultivate his, the unconscious was able to pick up the thing that the conscious wasn't able to do. So we need to be willing to listen to our unconscious or listen to that intuition and act on it, get the feedback. That's the loop that gives guys, I call it relationship ESP. I'm actually designing a course specifically for not necessarily, mostly it'll be men, but there'll be some women, but like the rational one, the logical one of the relationship. And I'm calling it relationship ESP because this is a skill you absolutely can develop and you need it. Like this is the skill that is necessary to have the kind of relationship that you want.
Well, I'm making a promise right now. I hope my wife's listening. We're never going to have a dirty dish again in the house.
All right.
Okay. Well, that was very interesting. Now, what was the last point? Because you said there was another one. So what's the we've talked about the confidence and the spidey sense. What was the other one?
Just his knowledge that really he's there for connection. This is something I discovered, I kind of referred to it earlier, but what I noticed was once I had a great love life, like once I got to the place where my sex life was beyond what I ever thought it was going to be, what I noticed was what I enjoyed most was the conversations that I was having with women, like getting to know them and all that stuff. So it's something we can't know until what we think we want is met. And then we realize, oh, that's just a piece of it. It's not even the most important piece. So,
okay, so I'm going to ask you a stereotypical question. This is going to be this is my Neanderthal coming out in me. I just have to ask. So what I'm hearing you say, being my first professional in this industry that I've talked to. So is this a reason why then, and I hate this, this is going to sound so sexist, but how come, some really, really men that are married to extremely attractive women have affairs with women that are, let's say, less attractive than their wife counterpart? Yep. So is it because they're craving, obviously they're craving something else? Is this the connection? They're getting treated like a human being. They're getting an emotional affair and not, it's the affair is not physical. The affair is emotional.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, and I can speak from personal experience here. And both personally myself and with my clients, if you happen as a male or female, right? Either way, if you happen to land that super attractive, like model-esque, to die for partner, the physical looks of your partner are going to become unimportant. They're going to become irrelevant very, very quickly. It's fantastic. It's amazing. It's certainly a lot of fun, to show off to the public, and it may boost your ego, but very quickly their physical looks are going to become the least important thing in the relationship, and how they treat you, how you interact with each other, are going to be the main things that make you happy or unhappy in that relationship. The same thing goes for wealth. If wealth is the thing that you think you want.
Well, that is amazing. Well, Ken Blackman, I have got to tell you, this hour is flying by.
Right.
So It's just crazy how many more questions I have. I hope you will agree to come back and be a guest again after we get some feedback from the Twittersphere and some of the folks that will be listening to this. Once my inbox is jammed full with lots of questions, I'm going to call you back and see if we can answer some of those. Maybe do a show where we actually read the questions and you can just answer them live on the air. This is crazy. I love it. So then all of the listeners out there, the thousands of people right now listening to our voices, tell us how to get a hold of you. How do we find you? How do we, you know, if anything we've said today resonates with you and you want to dig into a little bit more coaching, a little bit more conversation with the expert, what are the things that we can do to get a hold of you and what can we do to be a resource for you at Inspired News Radio?
Wonderful. So I happen to have a free email, kind of a mini course that anyone can sign up for. It's a five-part piece on this topic. It's called Relationship ESP. I would love to gift it to all of your peeps. And you can get to it. You can sign up for it at kenblackman.com/RESP. I'll say that again. kenblackman.com/RESP.
I'm going to put that on the website. So for all of our listeners out there that are listening to this right now, if you're driving, please don't try and write it down. Just go to inspirednewsradio.com, go to the personalities page where you will see a downloadable version of this episode. And on that page, I'll have a picture of Ken and me and all of my regular listeners, you know where that is. But if you are new to us here at Inspired News Radio, just go to inspirednewsradio.com, go to personalities, go to Mind Your Own Business, pick out the episode that is Ken Blackman as our guest, and that entire page will be filled with all these links. I will put kenblackman.com/RESP there where you can get your free five-part relationship ESP guideline. So yep, that's fantastic. And where are you located? Do you do your coaching one-on-one, face-to-face? Is it kind of over Zoom or some other multimedia? How do we engage with you individually then?
Yeah, all of my work is online. I'm based in Vegas, but I don't have any clients in Vegas right now. My clients are all over the world. So wherever you are, you know, if you're inspired to work with me or even just contact me, that is definitely doable. I can be reached at ken@kenblackman.com and just reach out and let's start a conversation. You know, you can give me the download on what's going on in your relationship. And we'll see where it goes from there.
That's fantastic. Ken, I have to tell you, you've just opened my mind on, I actually think my knuckles aren't quite dragging the ground like they were before we started this hour. I think I'm standing up a little bit more erect.
Wonderful. that was me, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I did a lot of knuckle dragging in my time.
Well, I really appreciate it. I appreciate you being a guest for all of our listeners out there. We are so happy to have Ken here on Mind Your Own Business. We do this every single week. We bring some of the greatest life coaches and mentors and entrepreneurs and business people, and we get them all on to Mind Your Own Business. And then we put that out there so that you can hopefully be a better person and help change the world just a little bit at a time is what we do. So, of course, you can always go to inspirednewsradio.com and fill out any of the forms. Say, hey, I really wanted to hear about that Ken Blackman. We'll send you links to the episodes. We'll do whatever you need. And remember, it's always available, not only live, but also in download form right here on Inspired News Radio. As I say every single week, you've got to mind your own business because nobody else is going to. Ken Blackman, what an honor to have you on as a guest. I look forward to a follow-up. I think this is going to be really, really fun. And I am definitely getting on kenblackman.com/RESP. And I'm downloading the five parts for the relationship ESP today. Thank you so much for being a guest. I really appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on inspirednewsradio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs of the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.